Back on downtown, it's 22 after 5 o'clock. On a Thursday afternoon, Rich Kimball here. Cajun Carrie going to join us again from down in New Orleans, but on the telephone line, what's our friend Gary Tangway. Hello there, Mr. Tangway. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I loved hearing you read of the Done It Has Done It Again commercial, because I think that slogan has been around for 100 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Done It Has Done It Again. It's like the Bonnie and Clyde jingle. Everybody knew the number. boy, this is... See, Bonnie and Clyde, don't you 8,009?
I can't. Nah, I used to know it. I don't even know if they're still in business. But Done It Has Done It Again. How long have they been in business?
Oh, my gosh. I should know that. I think it's in the commercial. But 50 plus, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Because I remember that ad when I was at school. Up at UMaine. Done It Has Done It Again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyways, I digress.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, we were chatting in the break, so I'm off to do another football game this weekend, and you're one of the handful of people that appreciates Bob Lucy and I and our quest for great coffee.
Well, I appreciate Bob Lucy because of his patience with you, but you know, that goes without saying. But I do think, you know what, in all seriousness, I love seeing wherever you are on social media, because it just means that you guys are having a blast. It's just you're having fun. You know, you're going out, you're getting some great coffee, wherever you are, I don't know, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and you just find a coffee shop and you go hang out on a Saturday morning and just chill. And it's just, I find it very therapeutic. I don't know what that says about my life, but I look forward to it.
Well, you know, we just started doing it as a silly thing, but we've had such a great reaction to it through the years that now we feel compelled to keep doing it. But it is fun. We're going to do it anyway. Might as well share with people what it is we do as we get ready for the game. And this weekend, a big milestone for us. This is our 300th game.
Wow. Where is it this weekend?
We're down in the bustling metropolis of Buies Creek, North Carolina. Maine plays Campbell University, the Fighting Camels.
The Fighting Camels. Now, is Buies Creek closer to North Carolina, closer to, would it be Virginia or closer to South Carolina?
Yeah, I think Virginia. I think it's like a suburb, a bedroom community of Raleigh.
Oh, okay. All right. Because my son is, right now, he's committed to play lacrosse at Lynchburg, which is in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
When you say Virginia, people go, oh, well, you know, you're just outside of Washington. And he and I drove there on a father and son road trip. No, I think we're closer to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Or the Carolinas, I should say. You know, because that's the thing I always wonder, like, whereabouts is it? Because there's a big difference between North and South in those states.
Oh, there's no question about that. Now, how's your daughter doing off at school?
She's doing great. I mean, she's looking for jobs. You know, anybody get a job out there for a dance psychology major? Because I know those are all over the place. give me a call. She's starting to get her resume together and figure out what she's going to do. And, you know, told me the other day that, you know, I'm only going to stay at home for the summer. So we'll see how that goes. And then, you know, of course, they all say, geez, I want to get a place in Boston. I go, who doesn't? You're going to need about 18 jobs. but she's doing well. You know, she's cool. To brag about my daughter, she's a terrific dancer, but she's an exceptional choreographer. And she's done some great stuff up there at school. So, and she's also working with dance therapy, which I found fascinating. I go, is that for real? She goes, no, that's a thing. Like dance, working with people and dance. And I said, hey, I'm open to anything. I mean, there's meditation and yoga and everything. And, you know, people are doing anything and everything to stay sane, which we have to in this world. So if dance is what it takes, go for it.
Good for her. And so, and your youngest is still at home getting all the attention. Must love that, right?
Well, yeah, she was just playing lacrosse in the kitchen 2 seconds ago. She has gymnastics in like 30 minutes after playing field hockey today. And then she's got a lacrosse tournament this weekend. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Do you get any time to just kick back, you and Randy, and chill?
No. Like, you would think, like, you know, and they say, well, you know, you got laid off from your job, so you have some time to yourself. Yeah, not really. No. And any person at home, whether it's a mother or a father, will tell you that it's a job. Doesn't pay well at all, but it's a job. So it's all good.
We're talking with Gary Tangway here on Downtown. So I know the actors, the SAG after strike continues. I'm not sure what's up with the producers, what the holdup is, and why they can't work this out.
Well, I was talking to a SAG delegate today, and I said, you know, what, because Clooney and Affleck and a third, they all met with the union leadership to see how we could get this thing going, because everybody's losing millions. I mean, that's the thing about this is, like, I don't see at this point how it's saving any money. And I do have to say, in reference to what's going on in the real world, I don't expect anybody to have sympathy for SAG or the movie studios, but for the sake of this topic, you know, the union is saying that, you know, we're looking at $500 million in shared revenue, and then the producers were saying it's $800 million. And the union, if you dumb it down to this, the union is saying we want 57 cents per viewer a year for the union members from, say, a Netflix. So if you think, well, I pay, $15 a month or whatever it is, so they want 57 cents out of, like, $110 or $100 or whatever the subscription fee is per subscriber per year. I thought it was per month. And to me, that's not a lot.
No.
It adds up, don't get me wrong, but it pales in comparison to what the studios get, you know? So I have to think they're going to... I also heard a rumor today that Sarandos was meeting with some union people and there were some things going on behind the scenes. So I have to think something will get done, because now everybody, I mean, there are writers that are homeless and they finally got their deal settled. And, you know, there are a lot of actors out there who you don't know of, but they make it. They do enough to survive.
Right, but that's the thing. Like the Cloonies, the Afflecks of the world, they're the tip of the iceberg, the 1% or less. Most people are working actors who are struggling to make ends meet and often have several other jobs to pay the bills, but also depend on their union for things like health insurance.
Well, that's exactly right. Right. So, you know, the fact that a lot of the big name people, like Affleck, has given $1 million. You know, to the SAG fund. The Rock gave, you know, $1 million to the SAG fund to help people and all that. You know, the heavy hitters have been strong because, as you know, like with the NFL Players Union in the past was hurt when some of the star players just said, I'm playing. You know, I don't care, because the contracts weren't guaranteed and they were losing millions and millions. But some of the heavy hitters have remained strong with the union, and that's helped. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, and there's, like, Eric Lang. Google Eric Lang, okay? He's one of my favorite character actors. I've seen this guy play a range of people. And he's got credits from being on my kids' TV shows to great shows on HBO.
I know him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Escape of Dan Amora. He was great. Narcos,
yeah. He was also in... Perry Mason. He was in the new Perry Mason that lasted two seasons. He played the detective, and he's great. And then you see him, like, Eric Lang's a terrific actor. I mean, look, I love The Rock. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy. He's funny. He can be self-deprecating, but Eric Lang's like an actor's actor. I've seen this guy on one of my kids' shows where he plays like a school acting coach, Victorious, and he's hilarious. And then I've seen him play, you know, a guy on Narcos. His range is incredible. But this is a guy that nobody, you know, unless you're an acting geek like you and me, you know who he is. I don't know, maybe he makes a couple hundred grand a year. I don't know, 150 grand a year, which, you know, in L.A. is not a lot of money.
No.
But he's always working. You know, when that revenue stream stops, like, he's been very pro-union, by the way. But those are the people that are, like, hurting, you know? And they fill in the gaps because, you know, as acting coaches have told me and people that, you know, when you venture into the world of acting like I have, at least at a regional level down here, you know, they'll tell you, you know, everybody wants to be a Ryan Reynolds, but, you know, that's like winning a lottery. But there needs to be about 9 people in a movie around Ryan Reynolds, right, that look like you, Rich, or look like me, or look like the guy next door, or look like, you know, my daughter, or my, you know, and these people aren't the stars, but they fill the storyline for the star. And that's why they're striking, because those people need those residuals, you know, and they need that protection from AI. I mean, here's the thing with AI, you know, and it's not there yet, but at some point, I think you and I talked about the Indiana Jones movie. I mean, I can tell the difference, but it's going to be at a point in time when you can't.
Right.
But I remember the movie Game Plan with The Rock. We were down there at the Foxborough Stadium, and they had about, they had, I don't know, maybe 1,000 extras and a bunch of place cards, like dummy people in the seats. But they probably had, I don't know, maybe 500 or 1,000 extras to fill the stand. When I did the Whitney Houston movie, they had like 50 people in the stand.
Wow.
Because all they did was they could digitally take that and multiply it by 100 to fill the rest of the stand.
Right.
So now those are background actors. You know, and when people start out in this business, a lot of the time, I mean, I've done background work. You do background work. It's boring as hell. But that's how sometimes people get their insurance. You know, it's 50, 100 bucks. And if you're a single person trying to make it, you know, it all helps while you're waiting for that break. So now that's been reduced. Now, so that's the thing with AI is if you have, like, if you take my image, right, and I'm in a movie with Rich, I mean, are you going to be able to take my image and use it in the sequel? And, you know, I don't get paid.
Right.
You know, that's crazy stuff. So the big thing right now is the revenue streaming, because like I think I told you, the revenue sharing and streaming. I mean, I still get checks for Chappaquiddick for, like, I got one the other day for $14. And I was in it for like 3 minutes.
Mm.
That was, God, that was shot eight years ago, whatever. But, you know, like I did Don't Look Up, you know, I don't get a residual for that from Netflix. If it's in a better example, would be some of the movies, you know, that went straight to streaming. You don't get a residual. You get your one.
Right,
TV.
Right.
But, you know, I'm babbling anyways.
No, not at all. I think it's fascinating. We've had some actors who've talked with us about it, and writers too, and explaining it, because I'm not sure everybody gets it. And a lot of people see it as millionaires versus billionaires, but that's not really the case. It's mostly millionaires speaking up for their working class brethren in the union.
Yeah, and there's a lot of really talented, there's so many talented people out there that I know, some of the actors from New York, that you'll see on NYPD, that you'll see on, like, Homicide.
Mm.
You know, they're stage actors. They're, I mean, like, not Homicide, like Law and Order.
Law and Order, yeah.
Broadway actors, yeah. But they don't make that much money in the theater. Or there have been some people that, you know, you'll see on, you know, in the different TV series, but they also teach at Emerson, you know, or they'll, you know, they'll teach a class. Like, I took a class from a guy that's been a working actor for, like, 30 years, and you wouldn't, you know his face, but... he came in and he did a seminar. He was great. And he told us, I don't know if you remember this commercial. Their seltzer's made in New York City. New York City? You know, I think it ran for Pace Seltzer.
Oh, yeah, I remember
He's
that.
The guy that says New York City.
Nice.
Anyway, well, he goes, I made $15,000 off that thing because I ran it for 20 years.
Wow.
You know? but you get this guy in an acting class? He's awesome. I mean, he was like... Like so. I mean, it's just, and it's probably tough for people at home to understand it. They go home and they sit and they watch, you know, but it's not digging ditches, but it's a tough grind.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know, it's a tough grind.
Gary Tanguy with us here on Downtown.
Here's the thing. Trust me, folks, you can tell the good ones from the bad ones, and you will never get a true moment from a computer that you will from two actors in the middle of a scene. You just will not. I don't care what any expert says.
No question about that. Hey, let me ask you before we let you go. Patriots 1-5, not a lot of W's out there on the horizon. You've said it before that Robert Kraft isn't going to hesitate if it goes south. He'll make a change. Is this the year?
Yeah, I think so, because Bill's too far away. Bill is so far away from the record with Shula. He would have to be here another 3 years, and I don't think Robert is going to put up with this. And, you know, the whole talk down here is like, well, Bill never really wanted Mac Jones. It was Robert's guy. And, you know, so Bill is going to say, well, Robert wanted Mac. It doesn't matter. The entire roster sucks. The entire roster sucks. And here's the thing that I just thought of today, just in time for the Richard Kimball Downtown Radio Extravaganza, is that I think two things. It's very hard to say that Bill Belichick is not a great coach because, look, he was a great coach. But there are two things that benefited this guy that I don't think he himself realized. Number one, Charlie Army picked all the players that were on the 96 Super Bowl team that bled over to the 2001 team. Willie McGinnis, Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Troy Brown, all those guys that established the foundation. They were not picked by Bill, okay? And Dick Rabine picked Brady, building up with Brady. Now, Bill went with Brady because he thought that I'm a good enough coach that I can, this guy can be a system quarterback, and he's always felt that I can make any quarterback a winning player. Then Brady got to the level with his final three Super Bowls that he was the difference. He was the reason he won the final three Super Bowls. Now Bill is at the draft on his own, and he doesn't have Brady, and I think he's become exposed. I think he's been exposed. I don't think – he certainly is not a good personnel guy, and great players make great coaches, and I think Robert's going to realize it's time for a change.
Gary Tagway with us here on Downtown. Good stuff, as always. Gary, thank you, my friend.
Rich, always a pleasure. Thanks, pal.
We'll catch you soon.